Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Now, something Brother Wayne did not mention is the fact that this doesn't just happen in the Philippines. We have Brother Lowry had made arrangements when he transitioned to Croatia. And then after he arrived with his household goods, the landlord changed the contract and didn't honor it. We've had missionaries plant churches and spend their own money to redo the property they rented just to have the landlord triple the rent when the lease run out. So they'd run off and they'd run these churches off. And so it's important that we help them build buildings so that they're established and they're not at the mercy of unscrupulous people. They go forward. And there are some churches here in America that unfortunately have not paid attention, and their pastor has put the name of the property the church is on in his own name. And that's stealing. That's just stealing. It happens here in America too. Anyway, take your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 20. We are in our series called Honoring God in the Ten Commandments. And we are on the ninth commandment. We're almost done with our series. Now, remember, when God says, thou shalt, he's saying, help yourself to happiness. Because none of God's commands are grievous. None of God's commands add sorrow to our lives. That's what he says in the book of Psalms. But whenever God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, hey, this is an area where you're going to hurt yourself. I love you. Please, thou shalt, here, have happiness. Thou shalt not, this is an area you're going to hurt yourself. If you do that, you're going to operate outside the specs of the original equipment manufacturer. That's what we did whenever you took a computer and messed with it, you were outside of the OEM spec. Well, the Bible is the user's manual, the tech manual for the human being. And God says, listen, when I say thou shalt not, I'm telling you, you're going to take yourself into an area that's going to hurt you. And so the thing about God is we need to look at each one of these Ten Commandments as how we worship him. See, worship is nothing more than showing God his worth. When you think about the people that you have worth, people that you view as worth, having worth or important to you, you obey them, you treat them respectfully. Children and teenagers, this is why it grieves mom and dad when you do not show respect. It shows them you don't love them. All right? You don't love them as much as your friends, or you don't love them as much as your own personal self. But because those you honor, those you see was worthy, you show them respect and you show them honor. So the best way we can worship God is by obedience. We are actually showing God his worth when we obey his commands. We show him by our work. And that's why I try to teach my kids. I have sayings. Do you have sayings that you run with your kids? Did it shock you when you heard your own parents' voice come out your mouth once or twice as a parent, huh? Whenever I would repeat my dad's sayings, I'd be like, wow, I sound like my dad. But the thing is, I taught my kids a little saying. We don't do what is right because it feels right. We do what's right because it is right. We do right because it is right, not because it feels right, because typically the right thing and the hard thing are the same thing. We do what's right because it is right, not because it feels that way. And that is truth. Being honest, in Exodus 20 and verse 16, if you'll take your Bibles and look at it, Exodus 20 and verse 16 in the ninth commandment. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. Look at it. Exodus 20, verse 16. Let's read it together as a family. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We need to view honesty, truth, as how we worship God. I am going to be honest because God is worthy of my honesty. God is worthy of it. He is worthy of me being truthful in the things I say. How many of you remember the old game show from when I was a kid called Truth or Consequences? Remember that? Yeah, a few of you, amen. Truth or Consequences was funny. What happened was, is you went on this game show, and Bob Barker was one of the later guys who did it, so from Price is Right. And anyway, he would ask a question, and if you didn't tell the truth, you had to do some zany stunt or skit. It was funny, and it was fun to watch. They did an episode in a place called Hot Springs, New Mexico, and they had so much fun that the city changed its name to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. You'll find that on your map if you look today. How many remember the old game show, To Tell the Truth? Anybody? Nobody remembers that? A couple of us do. Okay. What happened was you get three contestants on, and one of them would be truthful about his vocation. Like if I was on the game show, I'd say, all right, I'm a pastor, and this is what I do. The other two guys that were on had to convince the panel of judges that they were the real pastor, not me. And that's how they would do it. And it was to tell the truth. And you won if they picked the guy who actually told the truth. And today, it's hard to tell who's telling the truth. We have dealt so flippantly with what is real and truth in America between fake news and the constant recharacterization of facts to fit our personal narrative. I kind of feel like Pilate when he was standing in front of Jesus and said, what is the truth? What is true? Now, is there such a thing as absolute truth? I had to look up those two words in the dictionary. I love using a dictionary. It means so much more to me when I understand the words I'm actually reading. And when you look up absolute truth, the word absolute means free from imperfection, complete, not mixed or adulterated, not partial, but pure. Truth is the actual state of a matter, conforming with facts and realities such as indisputable facts. And we have somehow abandoned absolute truth for narratives that make us feel good, rather than what is true. And our society's kind of drunk on it, really, because when you start to talk to them, they'll say to you, oh, well, that's your truth. Nobody owns the truth, guys. There is just truth and everything else is false, all right? And God is the one who is the source of all truth. In John 1:17, the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Psalm 31:05, it says, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So with each one of these 10 commandments, as we are trying to live them, we need to remember that this is how we show God is worth. We don't do it to get brownie points. We do it because God's worthy of it. Now, we can trust God because God cannot lie. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, which God that cannot lie hath promised us. You know, God can't lie. In him is no darkness. In James, it says, all the good things of life come down from him and there's no variableness. God isn't one way today and another way tomorrow. He is the God of truth. But to deny God's word is to deny his truth. That's what Psalm 119, verse 142 says, thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness and thy law is truth. Thy word is true from the beginning, verse 160 says, and all thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119, verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. To deny God's word is to deny him. It really is. In Psalm 138 and verse 2, there's an interesting phrase. If you've got your Bible, won't you go there with me? Psalm 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. This is an important thing that I want you to get. Psalm 138, verse 2. Now look at that verse for a second. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For, because, I'll do this, because, look at that phrase, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. See, the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He will not hold them guiltless, the Bible says, who takes his name in vain. But God said, you know what, as important as my name is, I'm taking my word and I'm magnifying it and exalting it above my name. Why? Because if his word's no good, his name is no good. There was a time in America when your word was your bond. But it wasn't that long ago, y'all. I was a kid, and the first two or three cars I ever bought, I would just call Stanley down at the Granville National Bank and say, Stanley, listen, I'm standing in front of a car. I want to buy it. I was probably 19. I'd say, Stanley, I need you to, it's $3,600. Please put that in my check. He'd go, come on down and just sign it. Go right ahead and write the check. We'll cover it. Because they knew I was good for it. Not that I had the money in the bank. I was getting a loan. But they knew I'd pay for it. My name, my word was my bond. My dad started this whole idea. He had such a great reputation in our town. Because when my dad said something, he meant it. And when he said he'd do it even if it cost him money. He didn't care. His word was his bond. And it needs to become what a Christian is. Used to be what a Christian is, it needs to be that again. But we as a country are now facing the consequences of our neglect and turning from absolute truth. In 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that prayer was unconstitutional in schools. In 1963, the Supreme Court ruled that the reading of Bible in the public school was unconstitutional. 1968, the Supreme Court ruled that teaching creationism only is unconstitutional. They had to be allowed to teach evolution as a theory without evidence. And in 1987, the Supreme Court ruled that the demand that both creation and evolution taught in the same school was now unconstitutional, that a school could not demand it. Our society is now dealing with the consequences because people don't know who they are. They don't know what they are, and they don't know where they're going. And you ever talk to a kid or an adult who's having struggles in these areas? They don't have any absolute truth that they're tied to. They're not even sure their family loves them. They're not sure of anything because they have not been taught absolute truth. You know, we're saved by God's absolute truth. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We are not saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold by our vain conversation or given to us by traditional men, but by the incorruptible word of God, the Bible says. So how we handle truth does say a lot about our testimony as a Christian. How we deal with honesty in our life tells a lot about what we think of God. Because if we're his disciples, John 8 says, we're to continue in his truth. John 8 says, if you continue in my word, verse 31, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the Father of truth. Jesus is worthy of my honesty. Jesus is the Father of truth, but Satan is the father of lies. If you're in John 8, you can look in verse 44. Look what Jesus said about Satan. John 8, 44, the Bible reads, when he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of all lies. And we are never more like Satan than when we lie, when we are dishonest, when we don't tell the truth. In Genesis 3:1, Satan destroyed a good man with a lie. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Our great, 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 great forefather Adam was destroyed by a lie. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which God, the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now listen, some of you, the military is going to move you, or your job's going to move you to another state or another city, and you're going to find a different church. And if you go to a church where the preacher puts a question mark where God has put a period, you're looking at an apostate liar. Because what God said, God meant. And whenever you question the word of God, you're questioning God. You're not questioning me. Look, I question, do I understand it? Trust me, I have to get out dictionaries and encyclopedias, and I got to learn, you know, because it's sacred language, and I got to learn what it says. But to deny what it says when I know what it says, that's being apostate. Satan cast doubt on the word of God. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman. Now, he not only cast out on the word of God, he also denies it openly. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Really? Genesis 2:17. God said, sure enough, you take of that tree, you will die. That's what he said. You will surely die, Genesis 2:17. So now he's denying what God said. And now he's going to impugn God's character. He says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. Listen, when we deny the word of God, well, we would never do that. You do it every time you say, I know what the Bible says, but I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to. You just denied the word of God. You denied its authority and thus denied God. That's what it means. That's real. That's real. That's big boy Christianity right there. That's what the Bible said. It's what he meant. There's no argument about it. Satan used a half-lie, the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. He said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. That's true. Their eyes were open. And ye shall be as gods. That's stretching the truth there, buddy, knowing good from evil. You know, Satan not only he hurt a good man, he also tried to destroy a godly man. Look at Job, the book of Job. Now, it's just before the book of Psalms. Job, chapter 1. Have you ever wondered why Job went through all the terrible things Job went through? Well, look, let me show you. In Job chapter 1 and verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Satan is not in hell with a pitchfork and a pointy tail poking people. He's walking on this earth looking whom he may devour. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it, seeking whom I may devour is what he means. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now he's about to impugn Job's character and God's character. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Oh God, you're not an actual true God. You are not righteous. You are buying that man's loyalty. Satan was lying to God and accusing God falsely. And he was accusing Job falsely by saying, you touch him, take it all away from him, and watch. He won't stay loyal. And that's why Job went through everything Job went through, to vindicate Job, because Job's attitude was, God's enough. You see, Satan uses lies. He also uses half-truths. And the truth is, we do it too. Do you realize you can lie by just your tone of voice? You do. Oh, really? Which is us saying but not saying, oh, I didn't know when we did. We can lie with our eyes and our eyebrows. Right? Which is casting doubt on whatever was just said. You didn't say a word. I didn't say nothing. We also lie with our body language. Which is for saying you don't think, you're not near what you think you are. Or you're not near what you think you are compared to me. That's what I just said by, Older guys do it a lot. We do it. You can lie by your silence. Yes, you did know. Whenever I'd correct a teenager in El Paso, they'd go, what? 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 You liar. You are a liar. And we're like Satan when we lie. We're also like Satan when we speak critically of others, when we impugn their character, when we send out rumors or we perpetuate rumors. Well, I heard. We need to choose the truth as our way of worshiping God. He is worthy of honesty. God delights in us. Did you know that, when we're honest? It says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly, that means in the way we act and what we say, are his delight. And God promises us longevity if we'll do it. Look at Psalm chapter 15, look what the Bible reads. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. That means deports himself in an honest fashion with everyone around him, with integrity. Worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach. That means speaking critically of others against his neighbor. Do you realize that people say, well, you just don't know, preacher. You just don't know. I got the goods on them. Trust me, we all got the goods on you too. God's got the goods on him. Let God handle it. To his own master he riseth and falleth. God don't need you to judge him or to be critical. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt. Do you know what that means? Sweareth to his own hurt. If you don't get anything else out of today, I want you to get this. Let's say Brother Tom back there asked me to help him with something. So I say, sure, Brother Tom, I'll be there Tuesday or Friday. I'll be there Friday. But Brother Carl calls me on Tuesday morning or Thursday morning and goes, hey, I got Nats tickets, box seats. You want to go? You got anything going? And I'm like, let me call you right back. Gee, Brother Tom, man, something's come up. I'm sorry. Swearing to your own hurt means I said I'd help him. So even if I get a better offer, it doesn't matter. I swore to my own hurt. See, I just lied to Brother Tom. Well, something came up. Okay, I made it sound like it was an emergency. Like I got a kid at, you know, I got a kid at the emergency room who lost his finger and it's, you know, and I got to go. You know, I didn't say it, but I sounded like it. Something came up. I promised him I'd help him. Do you help people except for when you get better offers? See, you're supposed to swear to your own hurt. Otherwise, you're lying. See, if your word's no good, then your name is no good. In verse 5, he that putteth not his own money out to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. See, longevity. When we are honest, God promises us that he'll take care of us. And this is the, you know, people say, well, you know, I have a struggle with truth. And I've met people that quite honestly, the truth would be easier, but they still choose to lie. And the Bible says that in Ephesians 4:22 that we have put on the new man. Because we know the Lord is our Savior, that we put off the old man in our former conversation of lying, and that we are to put on the new man. So because we're saved, verse 25, it says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And maybe that's why you're having trouble with the truth, is because you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord as your Savior, because now that you're saved, you have the opportunity to be honest. Evil people turn away from the truth. Wicked people resist the truth, 2 Timothy 3:8. And evil people are destitute of it. They have no use for the truth, 1 Timothy 6:5. Because the opposite of truth is hypocrisy. And when we acknowledge God's truth, when we acknowledge God's word as true and live it by the way we do it, we are acknowledging that God is real to all those around us. We're proving it out. Every time we're honest, we are proving that God is real. That's why we're supposed to obey the truth. That's why we're not to bring a false accusation or a false witness or to lie, because God's worthy of it. He's worthy of our testimony. And we should manifest it in our life, that everyone who comes in contact with us should know by experience that we're honest. Because when we lie, we're never more like Satan. You know, we can lie to God by deceiving we can lie to ourselves by deceiving ourselves. We can do that. But we can also lie to our children. And when we lie to our children, we run them straight into the arms of the devil. Not just by the things we say, but by the things we don't say. And by the way we live, and sometimes the way we shouldn't live. You know, when you pick up when somebody calls and you go, here, tell them I'm not here. You just taught your kid to lie. When you go to a show or an activity and your child just turned 12, but anybody under 12 gets a break on the price, and you say, here, tell them you're still 11. You just lied, and you just taught that kid to lie. That the truth doesn't matter. That's what you just did. Christian husbands, Christian man, this goes double for you. Because when you say you're a Christian and you love your wife, but you don't love her like you're supposed to, you're a liar. You're no more Christian than my dog. In 1 John 2:4, it says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Husbands, fathers, when you say family matters to you, but you display by your actions and your choices that your hobbies and your activities are more important to your kids, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're no more Christian than my dog. You know, truth is, old Charlie, he was such a good dog. He loved Ms. Mix on days when I wasn't very Christian. He was more consistent sometimes. What if we grew up to be the people our dog thinks we are? You ever think of that? But when I manifest my love, the love of God, when I do it, it ought to be in honesty. I'm having a struggle, you know, loving. Well, then change your heart, because it's a decision. It's not a feeling. And the truth is, guys, we need to love and do it honestly. So when we mess up, we need to go to our kids and go, I messed up. I said I was going to do this, and then I didn't. Or I let things get out of hand, or I didn't manage my time well, and I am sorry. This is me. I made this mistake. I'm sorry. One of the things that shocked me about being a parent was that some of the things I said off the cuff without thinking, my kids took as promises. And they were just as hurt as if I'd lied to them. Because They assumed I meant it when I said, well, maybe we might do that. You need to be honest. And if you've hurt their feelings, you need to apologize. Because sometimes we lie by inferring something. And when we lie, we need to make it right. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you got a better shot at raising good kids by being honest and saying, that was me. I messed up here. And you say, well, I feel like a hypocrite because I can't tell them not to do this when I didn't do it. Then sit your kid down and say, look, I messed up and I'm sorry. You know what? I should have done it this way. And I have made some terrible mistakes and I'm sorry. And today I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, I don't have any intention of changing. Then you got a bigger problem. Brothers and sisters, when God says thou shalt, he's saying here's happiness, here's joy, here's peace, here's blessings. But when he says thou shalt not, he's saying, look, this is an area you're going to hurt yourself in. This is an area that's going to come back to bite you. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23 that be sure your sin will find you out. God will bring it to pass. Truth has to become what we are. So God's servants should speak the truth. We should teach the truth. We should live the truth. And listen, it says that we are to be a witness. We're not to bear false witness. So the opposite of false witness is a true witness. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We are to bear a true witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Look what the Bible reads. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. We become, when we don't tell people, when we deny our faith by being silent, it comes up and people are mocking at work and you say nothing. You're denying your faith. When you don't want to tell somebody because they may not like you, you are choosing your popularity over your Christianity and your faith in God. You need to tell the truth. We're denying God's identity. We are to be a witness. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, what happened to you? A witness just shares what happened to them. That's all. So when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, what happened? Tell them your story. When God answers a prayer, tell them. Man, look what God did. You're just witnessing about what you're experiencing. We're to be a faithful witness, a true witness, by bearing false witness, by saying something that's not true, by being silent and allowing someone to believe something that is not true. We're bearing false witness. But we bear a faithful witness when we stand up and say, no, this is honest, this is true. I'm going to be honest in this situation. I'm going to do what's right in this situation. I'm going to follow through on what I said in this situation. I'm going to live it. Well, I don't always feel like it. Join the club. Because the right thing and the hard thing are very often the same thing. But God is worthy of our witness. God is worthy of a faithful witness and a true witness and an honest witness. Because what people think of us reflects on what they think of him. That's why nobody ever puts an atheist on CNN and goes, look how they were rebellious. Look how they've gotten divorced. Look how they were caught drinking and driving. Look at that. Why? Because nobody cares. Why? Because it's the Christian who's supposed to do better. He's supposed to mimic God in his character. That's why it's always on the news. Because as a Christian, the lost world knows what we're supposed to be about. And the name Christian used to mean something. There was a time when you could say, well, listen, you can trust me, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. And unfortunately, that time's gone. And we need to take back that testimony, not just verbally, but by doing what we say we're going to do, by being completely honest when facts are called into question. Truthfulness is accurately reporting past facts. That's what truthfulness is. And if it means it makes you look bad, well, then it makes you look bad. If it means that it costs you because you didn't do what you were supposed to do or you failed to do what you were supposed to do, so be it. Truthfulness is accurately reporting past facts. That's what it means to bear a true witness. So let me ask you a question. Do you think truth is arbitrary? It's okay to be honest and truthful here in the pews, but not truthful and honest tomorrow at work? When you log your mileage, are you being honest and truthful? When you're doing your expense reports, are you being honest and truthful? When you log your time, are you being honest and truthful about the time you actually spent on the customer site? Are you being honest and truthful in the way you give change back when somebody pays you? Or are you honest and truthful in the work that you're actually doing? Are you doing the work that you were asked to do? Are you skipping things that you think don't matter, but you were yet asked to do them? It matters. For no other reason than it's God you work for. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are we a faithful and true witness, or are we false? Today, America's facing the consequences of leaving truth behind. And brothers and sisters, as Christians, we will face the consequences of not being truthful in our lives as well. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, we ask that you would speak to every heart and every soul. Father, truth is not arbitrary. It's universal. It is to be done and said and followed through upon because it's your truth. And as your ambassador, Father, we know that our lives point to you for the good or for the bad. And Father, we ask today that you would give us the grace to choose to be honest, to be faithful, that our witness would be received. If there's one here today that's lost, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I ask God you'd speak to their heart. Convict them of their sin. Be truthful with them of their sin and their future. And may they trust Christ as their Savior. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to sing, we do not have an altar call for tradition, but it's because we need an opportunity to respond to God's word. And sometimes that means taking the witness stand against our own soul and testifying of our sin and going to God for forgiveness. And sometimes it's taking a loved one or a friend by the hand and coming down front and saying, "Help me, let's pray together. I need to apologize. I've not been truthful." It's a time for us to respond. Won't you respond with me, Mrs. Mix?
Truth seems harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide.
We're just sinners. We've all failed. But it is God who's worthy of us to admit it. He's worthy of us to seek forgiveness, to make reconciliation, to be honest.
Bring your brokenness and I'll bring.
We throw that phrase around all the time. Well, to be honest, well, if I were to be honest, what you're really trying to say, I know, is, well, if I'll be frank, if you'll let me speak frankly, or rather curtly or directly, but we've lost sight of what honesty is. Honesty doesn't mean you're hurtful. It just means that you're accurately reporting. Honesty is not about our characterization. It's just accurately reporting.
Afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our
You know, Mark Twain said, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. You don't have to be concerned about somebody bringing up a past conversation because you've always told the truth. There really is liberty and freedom and honesty. If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Are you putting up a false front so people will think you're saved when you know better? Won't you come clean? Won't you come clean? Just be saved. Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, you are the God of truth, the God who cannot lie. And Father, it is our desire to be a faithful and true witness of you. Father, that we would show everyone that your will is true and perfect because of the way we deal with truth. Help us, O God. And Father, as we go from this place, we recognize as your ambassadors, God, that others need to know the truth about you, that we need to be able to tell them from our heart what happened, how we know you, how we came and got acquainted with you and then were saved, and then how today we live for you. Father, let us be that faithful witness that you've placed in that position of authority, that position of at the places we work, at school, and in our community and homes. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Lucas. Wait a minute.